Jeremiah chapter number 6. In this passage of scripture, God is warning Israel through the prophet Jeremiah that they needed to change their ways. Unfortunately, though, the children of Israel would not listen. They refused to listen. They continued going on their way and on the path that they were on. And the prophet was told to share that destruction was coming if they did not repent. God was sending out a messenger, but the people did not want to listen. One of our favorite songs on our bus route we sing each and every week is from Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 20, and the kids all get to stand up and knock on the ceiling when we sing it. But we sing, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he will with me." Again, that verse, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." In that passage of Scripture, we have a great invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there, and by the way, that invitation is for us too. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice." The fact is, and praise the Lord for it, that the Lord is calling. The Lord is knocking, and I'm thankful. That is a promise. It doesn't say, "If I stand at the door and knock." He is standing at the door. He's there. He's knocking today. But the tragedy is this. People aren't listening. They aren't responding. The fact is, the Bible again says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's not going to change. But the tragedy is this. "If any man hear my voice." Now, is he calling out? Yes. The problem is people won't listen. People many times will not heed, and they will not open the door. They will not. And what is happening there? They're missing the blessing. The Bible says that, you know, if any man will open the door, he said, "I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." The fact is this, the Lord Jesus wants to have this relationship with us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to bless us, but we must respond to his call. The fact is many people today, they don't enjoy being a Christian because they aren't listening. They aren't heeding his invitation. I guess I'll put it really simple. If you want to enjoy life, you do it God's way. You respond to his word. You respond to his calling. In our text, we read, and we're going to read here in just a second, how that the children of Israel, God was calling them. He was calling out to them, calling for repentance. Now, Israel, this here at Jerusalem, they were still making their sacrifices. They were still going through the motions. But the problem was this, and heed this, please listen to this morning. They had gotten used to God. They knew God was there. They knew, if you will, I know they had the temple, but they knew church was there. They knew the routines that they went through. But they were just going through the motions. They had just kind of had that part of their life that was religious, but it was just something they did. But their life was totally separate. One of the blessings of, our marriage, my wife and I, is that the fact that I get to do premarital counseling with couples before they get married. And anyone that I will marry, if they come to me and ask me to marry them, I will have times when I meet with them, and I'll, you know, go over, what to expect in marriage and what the Bible says about marriage. And you say, that's good for you. It is, because I and my wife, I have her in the room with me quite often when we have these counseling sessions. And it's good to be reminded our responsibilities as husbands and wife. It's good to be reminded. And it's also good, and this is sad, you know, but all of you, if you're honest, all right, you'll have to nod your head if you've been married a while, you know, It's also good to see, you know, two people just, you know, infatuated with each other, right? I mean, you know, they're just sitting there, and when they come and sit in the office, they don't look at me, they immediately look at each other, right? Or we go and sit in the conference room, and they sit there, and they snuggle up together, and they start staring and looking at you, and whatever the case may be, and you're just like, they just love each other. And, you know, you can say, well, don't you love each other too, right? Well, yes. Yes, absolutely. But the Revelation puts it this way. It's easy to forget your first love. It's easy to forget your first love. And the fact is, with God, we should be the same way. The fact is, with God, we should understand, and that sadly, we get used to God. It's kind of like I gave an illustration yesterday. I was preaching that every once in a while around here, I think it's Wednesdays, they have the tornado signals that go off. You know. And we just go on with life, right? Because, you know, it's just something that happens. And usually we have fire alarms at school, and we'll have a fire alarm. And, you know, when they go off, kids are like, here we go again. But when it's a real alarm, which we had one this past week, nothing happened, or 2 weeks ago, it was all okay. Just something got burned inside the microwave. But, you know, but when it really happened, the kids panicked. The kids were like, whoa! And as teachers, we're like, oh, right? You know, oh, this is for real. And I think a lot of us, someday the Lord's going to come back, and we're all going to realize this is for real. This is real. Not that you're not going to church, you are. Not that you don't have a Bible, you do. Not that you didn't stand and sing songs for Christ, you did. But I think a lot of us someday are going to stand before God and say, whoa, this is real. And you're going to read in Jeremiah 6 a far too familiar story. Happening in Israel that happens today, unfortunately, with many. If you're able to, let's stand as we read our text just in respect to the Word of God. It says in Jeremiah chapter number 6 and in verse number 1, it says, O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Serim, for evil appeareth out of the north in great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks have come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. Prepare you war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, and let us go by night, and let us destroy her places. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, Hew ye down trees, and cast them out against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is wholly oppressed in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her water, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus hath the Lord said of hosts, They shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. And look at verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. Skip down to verse number 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, and when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I have set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Let's pray today. But I ask you to consider this passage of Scripture. Here's a group of people, Israel, that had gotten used to God. They had gotten to a point where they were just living for themselves, doing what they wanted to do. And God was pleading with them to repent, trying to spare them, but they said, No. Simply put, we will not hearken. God sent a watchman, Jeremiah was one, to plead with them, saying, Please, please, turn around. We will not. say, what happened? Israel was destroyed just as prophesied. They came in, the Babylonians, and they sieged Jerusalem, destroyed it. Children were killed. Moms and dads slain. The city destroyed. Piece by piece. Because the people said, we will not listen. In 2019, there are churches all across this country, and the Bible is being preached. But there are far too many that are sitting in the right place, hearing the right words, that are saying today, I will not hearken. Destruction comes, but it doesn't have to. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you take this message. I pray you'd use it for your glory. I know what you've given me today. Please help me. Lord, help my tongue. Lord, help my thoughts. Help myself to be totally yours. I pray you put a hedge about this place and a Holy Spirit conviction. Lord, just please, Lord, help us to listen today. Please give us listening ears. In your name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Real quick this morning. Scary part is this clock says it's 9:09, so I'll put that away, so don't panic. All right? I want you to see a couple things this morning. Number one, I want you to see the people's situation. The people's situation described in verses 1, 2, and 3. Say, well, how were the people? Number one, you see in verse number 1 that the people were in danger. The people were in danger. God tells the prophet Jeremiah, it says there in verse number 6, to go to the children of Benjamin, which is where Jeremiah was from. He had a burden for his people. He had a burden for his people. I talked to a group of pastors yesterday, and I got the opportunity to preach to them and shared from the same passage of Scripture. But I shared with them something that every pastor, probably teacher, and junior church, whoever it may be, parent, that you get. Jeremiah the prophet was pleading, and it seemed like no one would listen. Was telling them, here's the truth. But understand, when Jeremiah got this message from the Lord, he cried out for his people, Benjamin, please get right or leave Jerusalem because destruction's coming. I hope you have a burden for your family. I hope you have a burden for your people. I, as pastor, have a burden for our church. But it says there again in verse number 1, he goes to his people and it says that he cries out to them. And look at verse number 1. O you children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet in Tekoa. Tekoa was a little village about 10 miles from Jerusalem. It's set up on a hillside, and it was there for this purpose, that anytime they would ever see an enemy approaching Jerusalem, they would turn from that hillside and blow the trumpet so that all Jerusalem would echo there and they would hear the sound, the warning, the enemy's coming. So what are you doing this morning? Blowing the trumpet. But there's an enemy out there. And he's not messing around. There's an enemy out there, and he wants to destroy. He said, set a sign of fire in Bethesirim. That was the valley between Tekoa and Jerusalem. Jerusalem set on a hill itself. But in between, there was this valley that was filled. It was a vineyard. That's what Bethesirim was. A vineyard filled with vines. And the idea was this, that they would set it afire. Set it afire to hold back the enemy. You know, if there's a fire wall there, a sign of fire to hold back the enemy, but also to warn the people. The enemy's coming. Usually the fire would be effective. You remember the same kind of scenario when the children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness. There was a pillar of smoke by day, but at night a pillar of fire. And remember when Egypt pursued them when they first left Egypt, they got to the Red Sea and they were coming, that God himself in that pillar of fire and that pillar of smoke went and stood between Israel and Egypt, protected them, but also warned them, the enemy's there. That's what this fire would do. It would alarm Jerusalem to understand that, hey, this is the last line. The enemy's coming. Wake up! Wake up! They were in danger. It was a call to awake, a time, a call to arm yourselves. But you not just see the people's situation, the danger they were in, but their description in verse number 2. It says, I've likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and a delicate woman. The people of Israel were described here by the Holy Spirit to the prophet as being a comely and a delicate woman. See, what is a comely and delicate woman? Beautiful, but spoiled. You ever seen the cartoon Cinderella? Right? You ever seen those sisters? Right? I mean, they had on nice little outfits, and I'm sure they were all dutied up, but they went around. They were spoiled. Y'all have seen that. Don't look at me like, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. You liars, right? They were comely and delicate. They didn't do work. Someone else did everything for them. That's how God described Israel, as comely and delicate. Everybody catch this, okay? One of the problems 2019 as we approach this year, one of the issues that God's churches face today, especially in the United States of America, is that we have become very comely and delicate. So what do you mean by that, preacher? Comely and delicate. What I mean by that is this. We have all inherited a lot. We've been very blessed. And let's be honest, a little bit spoiled. I mean, everything's been handed to us. It's one of the great dangers that I gave this illustration yesterday. When David, when he became the king, he had to fight. He was a fighting king. He fought enemies and fought and took this land and took these armies and fought these armies and fought these battles. And he became a man after God's own heart. Solomon inherited everything. And while he had a lot of peace, his heart began to wander. Because he didn't fight for it. He was handed it all. The danger for churches like this one and churches all over the country, our third and fourth generation churches. Everybody catch this. You know, these walls, this church, these pews, not many of us, if any, in this auditorium drove the nails in these boards. The generations in heaven. No one in this room gave the land for this building. Gave it. No one in this auditorium, I don't believe, hung these lights. Now there's some things we've been doing in the last few years. Praise the Lord. But when the church was 10, 15 people meeting in a little basement over there, we weren't the ones knocking on doors saying, please, God, build a church. We went to Word's meeting in a basement, falling on our face, saying, God, would you please make a church here at Kazadell? We just walk in. It's always here. We inherited a great thing. Praise the Lord for our church. It's easy to take it for granted. What you don't invest in so much, it's easy to take lightly. And the people of Israel become comely and delicate. God loved them. They were beautiful people. They are today. But the fact is this. The people then had become soft, spoiled. The idea there, with those words, if you just study those words out, and probably your Bible is like mine, the word woman is in italics there. But the idea there is comely and delicate is the idea of a is idea. If you ever seen a fresh meadow of grass, I mean, just picture in your mind, and right now we think Ohio and everything's mud, right? Everything's mud. I've never seen so much mud in my life. My backyard, every step you take, you go down about a foot, all right? You know, it's bad. But imagine, all right, middle of June, just this giant green field of grass, soft, beautiful. That's the words, comely and delicate. And that's why in verse number 3, as he's describing them, he describes their doom. The shepherds and their flocks will come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. The prophet says, you're like this green meadow. You're soft. You're beautiful. Everybody look at me. But the shepherds and their sheep are coming. Picture in your mind that green meadow. And just picture what a bunch of shepherds and a whole bunch of sheep will do to that meadow. They'll devour it. They'll destroy it. They'll eat it up. By the time the shepherd and the sheep are done, it'll be a dirty field. And then the shepherd and their flocks will go to the next field. He says, Israel, that's what's coming. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. The devil wants to destroy. The devil wants to devour. The devil, and he will do it every time. The devil is a destroyer. The devil is a devourer. This world, all it wants to do is suck the life out of you and leave you dead and defeated. Yet many Christians sit week after week in an auditorium, and they sit here and they do their religious thing, and the preacher preaches, he pours out his heart, the Bible is here, and yet we say, I will not hearken. Altars are empty, tears are dry, nothing's ever happening because we've just gotten used to everything, but the same enemy is still out there. God's people, God's churches, they're a beautiful thing. The New Testament describes them as being a bride. The New Testament describes them as trying to do our best to be spotless and holy, but understand the devil wants to defile that, to destroy that. Our theme this year is God's blueprint for His church. We're looking at what a church is. We're looking at how we ought to be as a church, but understand the enemy's out there. It's still there. And one of the great dangers that we have is sitting in a good church week after week, hearing the Word of God preached, and it just not affecting us. Us getting our Bible out in the morning and just reading a chapter and checking it off and never getting anything out of the Bible, never getting any message from God. We're just going through the motions. The enemy's coming. You see the people's situation, you see the people's state in verses 7 and 8. Look at it real quick as he describes Israel. In verse number 8, verse number 7, it says, they're like a fountain that casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. They were defiled. Israel was full of wickedness. Israel was a people that had become as a fountain. Now, James in chapter number 3 talks about how that we as Christians are like a fountain in the New Testament. And it says there, talking about us like a fountain, that a fountain... doth a fountain send forth bitter and sweet water? And the answer is no. In verse number 12 of James chapter 3, it says, neither does a fountain produce salt and fresh water. It can't happen. So let me ask you a question. We know what Israel was. They were a fountain, and what was coming out of them was wickedness. So let me ask us a question as individuals. Picture yourself as a little fountain sitting in this room. So what's coming forth from you? I'm not asking in these 20 minutes sitting in an auditorium. I'm not asking what's coming out of you in the next 15 minutes of this service. I'm asking you tomorrow. I'm asking you yesterday, Friday, last week, next week. You say, well, that's different. A fountain can't produce sweet and bitter water. And you're fooling yourself if you think you're sweet today and you're not. If the rest of your life is all about living for yourself and living in the flesh and living in sin and contrary to this Bible, you can put on whatever you want to, but the fountain's still bitter. You say, why are you being so negative? The prophet here cries out and he's burdened for his people and stay with me. But they had to be honest with themselves. They had become defiled. They had become destructive. In that verse, in verse 7, it says, violence and spoil is in her. They had become a people who was all about greed. They had become all about a people of whoever's in my way, I will remove them. Life had become about them. They didn't care anybody about anybody else. It was all about them. Get what I can. Violence and destruction, that's all it was. It's sad today, and I'm thankful to the best of my knowledge it's not here. And I thank God for this. But in a lot of churches today, there is so much division and fighting and arguing, and it's really sad. So what is that a sign of? It's a sign that the devil's got his foothold in that place. It's destructive. And A, in verse number 7, they were dying. The picture here is like a person that is on their deathbed. It says there at the end of verse number 7, before me continually is grief and wounds. Grief and wounds. Picture here someone dying with open wounds and infections, and they're crying out in grief. The wounds, they're there. God said, I know. Now again, they saw themselves and they were comely and delicate. But God said, I see the real you. Grief and wounds. They were dying. They were dying. So many people in their hearts today, if we were honest, there's a lot of grief and wounds in our hearts. A lot of sores. A lot of churches, a lot of homes, a lot of people. Unless something changes, they're lying there in grief and wounds. But here, don't leave me. Verse number 8, I want you to see this. Even though that was their state, they were still desired by God. Amen. Verse number 8, it says, be thou instructed, O Jerusalem. Listen, there's still hope. Lest thy soul depart from thee. Remember, get the picture, just go right in context. In grief and wounds, they were dying. But you don't have to die. Lest I make thee desolate and a land not inhabited. I know where you're heading, but it doesn't have to happen. Be thou instructed. Please listen. Christian, let's make a goal this year in 2019 not to just go through a church service and get nothing out of it again, but to listen. To be sensitive to the Spirit of God. To change. To grow, to want God's blessings. You see the people's situation? You see here the people's state in number 3, verses 9 and 10, the people's stubbornness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine and turn back the hand as a grape gatherer into the basket. The picture here says if they don't change, destruction's coming. They're going to come as Israel is repeatedly through Scripture like a vine. But someone's going to come and pluck the fruit from it. It would be Babylon who was going to come and reach its hand into Jerusalem and literally pluck the fruit from it and leave it desolate. Verse number 10, the prophet says, and God says to him, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? It's a question. The prophet says, no one's listening. No one's listening. Now, why weren't they listening? And it's here in the verse. Now, I'm almost done. Stay with me. Why weren't they listening? It says in verse number 10, behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. I give you just 4 things why they weren't listening. Number 1, because the world had made them dumb. See, what do you mean the world had made them dumb? Again, it talks about their ears uncircumcised, that they would not hearken. Again, I'm not going to go through all that the Jewish ritual was and how God instituted with circumcision and why, but it is a sign of this, of the removing of the flesh. It was a sign here, the people here, they had other passages of Scripture talks about the uncircumcised heart, and here the uncircumcised ear, they would not listen because their flesh was in the way. They would not listen because their own desires were in the way. I just ask you to be honest this morning. Every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest in this auditorium, how did you grow spiritually in 2018? What did you get from the Word of God in 2018? When you look back in January and that first Sunday of 2018 and you see where you sit today, spiritually, how far did you come? I don't know. Well, I got news. Ignore the preacher. Preacher's just human. But I know this, that the right book has been taught from this pulpit. And if I didn't grow, and if you didn't grow, the book did not fail, because His word shall not return void. So, preacher, what's the problem? Flesh got in the way. Flesh got in the way. People raised their hand in a church service last week that they were lost. Raised their hand. I know I'm lost. Many raised their hand last week that there is someone that was lost that we know and we love. Did we pray for him this week? Our flesh gets in the way. Many times we don't hear much in a service because our flesh is in the way. We're thinking about what's going on in life, what's going on for lunch, sports teams. Some don't even come to church. They turn their ear away from hearing of the law because their flesh is in the way. Just don't want it. The world had made them dumb. Secondly, God's word was a disgrace. It says there, they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. See, it's kind of like steps. At first, we get so consumed with ourselves and our flesh that we're still hearing, we're still in the right place, but we're kind of, you know, our ears are all clogged with self. It's been a long time since I've been at the altar with tears running down my cheeks. Why? My ears are clogged with self. I don't have a burden anymore. I don't have excitement anymore about the things of God. Why am I not growing like I used to? Our ears are clogged with self. And then what naturally happens if that doesn't get fixed is the Word of God becomes a reproach. Now when things or certain things are preached, it isn't that we hear it and we get mad at it. We get upset. We want to argue with it. I don't agree. I don't want to do that. We get mad at God. We get mad at the preacher. We get mad at the Bible. We get mad because we don't want to hear that. We don't want what the Scriptures say. We don't want to hear teaching. Pretty soon we want to avoid it at all costs and get away from it every chance we get. The Word of God and preaching and teaching becomes not important to us. We treat it irreverently and full of interruptions. Some things happen beyond our control, but listen to me, Mom and Dad. As much as possible, we ought to sit still and make sure we're listening in a service. Then, as progression goes, their will had no delight in it. Verse number 10, it continues, "The word of the Lord is made unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." Now, they just don't want it. Now they choose to sin. Now they're like Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, "I know, but no." The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. That doesn't mean that God's like a genie in heaven that will just give you whatever you want, all right? What it means is this: if you choose to delight in the Lord, he changes your desires. He changes what you're looking for. Instead of you looking for yourself, you begin to look for others. You begin to look for God, and he changes that inside of your life. And then pretty soon, we skip a lot, got to hurry for time, but in verse number 15, the world had made them dumb. God's word was made a disgrace, and their will had no delight in it. Then by the time you get to verse number 15, their way was desired. They had come to a point where they said, it's my way, and I don't care. They were committing abominations. You can see in verse number 15. They were committing abominations. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? What's the answer? Nay. Neither were they not at all ashamed. Neither could they what? They didn't even care anymore. Now the prophet would get up and say, this is wrong. Don't care. Sin is shameful. Not me. Stay away from this. Don't want to hear it. God says that this is wrong. Not for me. And it had gotten to this point where they did not care. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. They did had no shame. They couldn't blush. God said, you will fall. But understand this, it's not God still. God is so long-suffering, blows my mind. God still says, but there's a way. There is salvation. My people, listen. Verse number 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. See, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. God says, but it don't have to be this way. Isn't that God? If you leave today thinking, well, God just wants to destroy my life, your ears are clogged. The message today is this. God says, this is where you're heading, but it doesn't have to end this way. If you'll just heed the Lord today. What does he say? Stand in the way. Stand in the way. Stand, see, and seek. Stand up for what's right, see the right path, and seek the old way. So what do you mean the old way? God's way. Christian, if you'll stand, you will see, and you will seek. I'm thankful for the old way. By God's grace, may we continue with this old-fashioned book right here. And keep singing the old-fashioned hymns. Live in the old-fashioned way. So why do you want to live that way? Well, apparently God says it's a good thing. And the New Testament doesn't contradict that at all. It reinforces it. Today's the day of salvation. If you're lost today, I hope that today you will stand up out of this land of destruction, see God's way of salvation, and seek him today while he may be found. If you're a Christian and you're living in sin, I hope that you will stand up out of that where you have fallen, and you will see God's forgiveness, and you will seek him today and live for him. Unfortunately, I have to end this message this way. Number 5, what the people said. At the end of verse number 16, but they said, we will not walk therein. God says, please, please listen. If you'll just see it, if you'll just stand, if you'll just seek it, I will give you rest. No. God said, I sent a watchman. One was Jeremiah. Saying, please, I'm blowing the trumpet. I've set it the sign of fire. Please listen today. But they said to the watchman, we will not. Get out a history book. That's all you got to do. 586 BC, exactly what God said would happen is what happened. Babylon came in. They cut down the timbers. They besieged the city. They slayed the people, young, old. They burnt down the city. They tore it apart. Took those that remained and took them back to Babylon and spread them out, and the land was left desolate. The sheep came in with their shepherds and destroyed that comely and beautiful place. The fountain was shut up. The one who the Lord desired said, "I'll give you rest," was now gone. They came in and they grabbed the vineyard and they plucked it all out because the people said, "No." Don't say no. Hearken to him today. Grow this year. Listen to him this year. Be honest with yourself. What flows forth from your life? If you're lost today, stand. See salvation. Seek him today. If you're a saved born-again believer, but you've allowed things in your life, just like Israel here, become so hardened to the things of God, stand up today. Righteous people fall, but they can rise again. Stand up. See God's forgiveness. Seek him today.